the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
Here we go, here we go. Red lights, I could never stop. A dreamer with the fever to be great was all I ever want. Was all I ever wanted.
You have not been cheated over this last year, have you, Grant?
No, I don't think so.
This is how it all started, folks. 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
This was the opening theme to Legend and the Loudmouth, believe it or not. And you know what? Season 2 is here. It's time. Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, 1 year in the books, Legend in the Loudmouth. We started it with this song, my typical cheesy 80s intro, 90s, I don't even know where anything at all by Mitch Malloy came from.
Nope. But
this is how it all started, with discussions of Notre Dame versus Louisville. And here we are a year later to the day where this went up. It's great to be here. Congratulations on making it 1 year with your old man doing the podcast. How we doing?
Good.
Good deal.
All right.
You love this music. I know you do.
Not really, no.
We actually did a show, like our second show, we started out with this. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that one. I think I asked you to play that one.
Was this your choice?
It may have been my choice. It was mine or yours. I don't know if it was.
Okay. Well, we've managed to get through, believe it or not, almost 80 episodes of Legend in the Loudmouth, and today, being the anniversary episode, this is our 78th episode.
Season 2 episode.
As Season 2 begins.
Season 2 episode.
And I ask you, are you ready? Yes, it's time. Love it. We appreciate all of you listening. We are international. Recognized podcast, and we've made it now to year number 2. I'm looking forward to it. We have had Thursday night football going on tonight. We've got left right debate night going on tonight. There's a lot going on. And we also have a special message from one of our wishing us a Merry New Year.
Happy holidays. Merry New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marshawn.
Thank you, Marshawn. One of the best things we ever played on this show, by the way. It's great to have, and I really can't thank enough to all the emails, the comments we've gotten from listeners, our regulars. You know who you are. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate the follows on social media. We appreciate the...
Just think of it. The name of the show started in a Hardee's parking lot.
Is that where it officially started?
Yeah, because we debated about talking about doing something like this. And we were just thinking of names, and I think we were going to school morning, and you're like Punter and the Professor or something. I'm like, nah, that doesn't work. You just shout out Legend of Loudmouth. I'm like, yes,
well,
that so works.
And for those of you who don't know the backstory, Grant has always fancied himself with the Legend name. It's sort of been his thing.
Okay, do I have to tell why?
Yeah, you need. Okay. Yeah, it's the anniversary show. You got to tell it now.
That nickname, the Legend part of it, started in sixth grade. It was sixth grade. My science teacher, Mr. Spellberg, loved that man to death. So we did these things on the computer called gizmos. It's a short science activity where you talk about ecosystems or organisms, stuff like that. And you have to put your profile in there. And so I changed my last name from Hubbard to Legend. And my science teacher saw that Spellberg, and he started calling me Legend. So like when I raised my hand in class to answer a question, he'd say, Legend? I'm going to answer the question. And so I just started calling myself that, and everybody started to refer to me as that. And so when people come up and talk to me, some of my friends, like Eli Hayes, they will say, what's up, Legend? They won't say my name. That's why I'm called the Legend.
And I'm just loud. Your
voice projects pretty well. And because you've done radio.
Yes, and I did do a little bit of local radio back in the day, and an NFL draft in particular, and had a chance to work with some really great radio guys that are still doing radio today. I mean, to this day, Jack Michaels is still doing radio. Derek Hansen is still doing radio. Guys like Dan Hammer, who I've worked with before, used to be those of you in the 80s era, remember Dan Hammer growing up. He was a sports director, then KTHI and then KVLY. Was a local sports reporter for many years here. All guys that I've had the chance and the opportunity to work with before, who are just fantastic people to work with, and gave a guy with no radio experience the opportunity to come on and talk on their various shows. Derek Hansen, especially, who I used to have a weekly gig with when I was writing for a fantasy football website. Derek was generous enough to give me time on his WDAY show. Great guys all, kind of give me the bug for, and again, if I didn't have a real day job, I definitely would want to do this for a living, but this is kind of the slice of it for me, and it's a privilege for me to share it with you.
Yeah.
So it's been fun.
No, because I talk to myself, as you know.
It's been known to happen from time to time.
I talk to myself, I'm not going to lie. I like to talk to myself, and I thought, just the conversation we have in the car and out here watching games.
Well,
and, like,
and one of the things
this
about...
This was destined to happen.
One of the things that's so great about this is this really came organically out of, you know, giving you rides to school every day.
Oh, yeah.
And as you get a little older and driving now...
And then the driver...
It's going to be... That's going to go away.
The rides got longer and longer, right. from Kennedy to Discovery to Davie.
And then the conversations got longer, and so this is a natural extension of those. And one of the rules we've always had on this show is that we record it, it's going to sound exactly as it's being recorded. We don't stop tape, so to speak.
Well, because we have no idea how to edit this stuff.
Right, well,
so
that's part of it, too.
I don't know how to edit this
but
stuff.
I think you get an authentic, honest, and sometimes rather humorous viewpoint
and
from us.
And if we swear, we swear.
Yeah, screw up, if there's an audio problem or whatever, it's all natural.
You said
baby.
Football team incorrectly, everything
happens. We don't edit this for posterity or to make us sound better and smarter, certainly, than we are based on how our NFL picks are doing.
Yep.
But we don't have any filters on that side of things. And the other rule that we've always had on this show is that we would never get into the political BS. We would never get into the COVID, the Black Lives Matter, all that stuff. We are here to talk about sports. We are here to be that hour every week, two hours every week, where you don't have to worry about the political opinions of the host. You just worry about what we think the Vikings should have done on 3rd and 6.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. And we've stuck to that philosophy through all 77 episodes of this that we've done. We've had days where we've had to talk about some really interesting stuff. We're going to get to some of those at the end of the show. We've got a few of our greatest hits for you, so to speak, that I'll cue up. The legend may not like these too much, but they're pretty good ones. But in keeping with the spirit of our show, you're here to hear us talk about sports. We're going to deliver for you. Tonight, we've got to talk about the NFL. We'll preview the college football weekend. We will talk about the World Series in brief. And then we will get into a couple things to close out on our anniversary show here. But Grant, it's been a fun ride this first year. And in order to keep it going, we need to start with talking about by what we always do on every show, and it's the National Football League. And we are watching a true display of Thursday night excellence between the Giants and the Eagles tonight.
This game sucks.
Wow, it's bad. If you haven't seen the play yet, and by the time you hear this,
you will.
Daniel Jones took the ball 80 yards on a beautiful read option play.
As Chris Brown was saying, he could.
Go.
And
then at about the 20-yard line, the needle in the gas tank hit E. And he toppled over.
The air came out of the balloon.
It's my good friend Jeff McKinnon would say, it looked like a sniper hit him from up there.
Someone called Sniper.
The amazing dropping of Daniel Jones. Fortunately, even though he toppled over on about the 15-yard line, they did score. So as we tape this, the Giants, who we both picked in this game, plus the 4.5, are leading right now,
the
Eagles 14-10, so we'll see how that goes. By the time this show gets over, God knows what it's going to look like out there. Couple of movements in the schedule, by the way. There have been some games shifted around. The Raiders having some COVID issues.
Their entire offensive line?
Yeah, that is going to now be... That game has been moved from Sunday night. And so they're going to put the... Cardinals-Seahawks game in that spot.
I totally agree with that.
Because that is the next best game of the day. So I'm going to need to do some rejiggering of our order here a little bit, Grant. So just don't stay with me if I miss that one.
Okay.
I
mean,
part of the organic part of the show is I don't, you know, didn't have time to plan that on the fly too well. But let's start with the game on the first games for Sunday. Lions at 2-3 travel to the Falcons at 1-5. The Falcons a 2.5-point favorite in this one against the Lions. And, you know, playing the Vikings certainly were over under 55.5, by the way. Playing the Vikings will cure what ails you a lot of the time. But I'm not sure in this particular instance of what to make of the Falcons. They certainly looked a lot better.
I'm picking Atlanta. Atlanta's offense is getting somewhere. When you play the Vikings, that certainly helps you. But they were able to establish a ground attack. They were able to establish the passing game. Matt Ryan, one of his best days in a couple years, blowing up. But when I look at the Lions and I'm thinking, you are way too inconsistent. The Falcons are way too inconsistent. And sometimes it just comes down to who has the home field. Atlanta somehow has, and they have the home field. Who has home field in this game?
Lions at Falcons.
Okay, then Falcons.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
Yeah.
And the reason I am is mostly because it's a 2.5-point spread, and I don't think this is a field goal much either way. I have a sneaking suspicion that the Falcons will find a way to win this game, however. And the Falcons, you know, they need the wins. Raheem Morris is seriously being discussed as a permanent head coaching candidate.
He should be.
And he certainly didn't have the best of success with Tampa, but... Well, maybe this is his opportunity.
He didn't have a lot of talent.
No, he didn't. He's got a Pro Bowl, former MVP of the league.
He made Josh Freeman a 4,000-yard passer.
Right.
So, I mean,
but
he's
got weapons there. Yeah. I think that's right. So give us the Falcons -2.5 there. Interesting game in Cincinnati this week, Grant. The Browns at 4-2 to the one travel to the 1-4-1 Bengals. The Browns a field goal favorite here.
Browns.
And the Bengals
Browns
with a 50 over under. You're going Browns?
Browns. I like the Browns. They don't play one in Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh. They're not good enough to beat Pittsburgh yet.
Browns are the classic team that beat who they're supposed to beat and lose to who they're supposed to
exactly,
lose to.
And that's why I'm picking Cleveland. I believe in Cleveland. Burrow can only take them so far. But I still like the Cleveland's offense. Pittsburgh, they always struggle in Pittsburgh. That just happens. I think they'll discard Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh. Move on from Pittsburgh. It's the Bengals. You can beat the Bengals. I'll take the Browns.
I think if the Bengals had a little better number to pick on here, I might take them plus.
Yeah.
But essentially, they're treating this game that the Browns are a 3-point favorite, so it's almost like a 6-point game if you figure in the 3 points for home field for the Bengals. I think the Browns have too much offense. Did I really say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they do, and I just don't think that the Bengals are consistent enough, and this is the way this is going to go this year. Give me also the Browns. I'll take a -3. I don't expect that it's going to be the prettiest game in the world. And Baker Mayfield, even though he may not be 100%, is still good enough. I think if they can run the ball and be consistent, I think they'll be okay.
Is this Baker's last year in Cleveland?
No.
He's so inconsistent.
If they go to the playoffs or they finish above, you can't. No,
he can't put two consistent games together.
I think you have to consider though. I don't think he has to anymore. I think the last couple of years he.
No, but
doesn't have to though. If he has Chubb and he has Hunt,
I know. But if he's going to be a game manager, but he still throws. He's still a horrible quarterback in the fourth quarter.
It's still strange to think that Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes once dueled kind of on the same level.
Yeah,
in college, and now Mahomes
because
is just
they,
so
they
much
ain't big. There anymore.
No, it's definitely not there. But give us the Browns -3. Game of the weekend. Unquestionably, and this was moved back a few weeks so that it even has more of a meaning now.
Is this Pittsburgh, Tennessee?
It is. Pittsburgh 5-0 at Tennessee 5-0. We had talked, Grant, that the line was going to move on this game, and it has. The Titans have swung around now to a 1-point favorite. And I think Pittsburgh early in the week, the line was Pittsburgh giving the Titans 1.5. Now it's come around with a 50.5 over-under. It's tough for me to think that the Steelers are going to go in here and win. I like Tennessee, and I'm going to pick them because I think, and even given a point, which is basically meaningless, I just think the Titans are on a roll. They're playing well. They've shown that they can come from behind and win. I think they're going to do it against Pittsburgh. And I think Pittsburgh, again, we've seen who they've played. They haven't beaten anybody of real significance yet. I think this is a tester game for them, but I don't think this is the one they get. I think Tennessee is going to win. I'm going to take, by the way, I'm taking the overs in both the first two games.
Yep.
And I'm taking the over in this one, too, of 50.5. Give me the Titans minus the one at home. What are your thoughts?
This comes down to who's better defense. Which team is better defense? Pittsburgh. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh plus the one?
I'm taking Pittsburgh plus the one. And I didn't like Pittsburgh's offense going into the season. I sure as hell like it now. I like James Conner in the backfield. Roethlisberger's actually having a pretty decent season. No one can guard Chase Claypool at this point in the season. And Juju will get you, if you have Juju in your fantasy roster, he'll get you your 4 points a game, which is like two catches for 26 yards. But the more I look at Pittsburgh, the more I'm starting to like Pittsburgh, and their defense has been incredible. I know they haven't played that great a competition, but...
Is it a Claypool thing? Is that why you like the offense?
It's not just Claypool, but he's spreading the ball around more. Ben's spreading on to his he trusts his receivers.
And only one pick.
Only one pick. That's the other thing. But the way their defense is playing has been they've played so well. The fact that Tennessee struggled with Houston, I know it's a division opponent, but if you're as good as you think you are, you should be blowing the hell out of Houston.
Steelers are playing well. Defensively, they give up 373 yards a game. The Titans giving up 431 yards. So they're allowing 318. Tennessee's allowing 422. Total yards gained, though, the Titans are absolutely crushing it. 157 yards rushing a game. I think they keep the clock, and I think they keep the ball away. And I think this is going to be one of those games that Ben Roethlisberger is going to have to go win. And I'm not sure he is that quarterback anymore. What I am sure about, though, is that the Titans are going to be committed to running the football. And I'm not sure that the Steelers are necessarily going to be totally equipped to stop that.
But if I lose this week on this game, I'll live with it, because I'll put my hat on Tennessee. I'm not Tennessee. I'm Pittsburgh. I'll hedge.
You can
my
change it still.
No, I'll hedge my bets with Pittsburgh. If this is the game, if I lose this week on this game, so be it.
I think that there's going to be a good opportunity, and I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if either team, you know, wins this game.
Yeah.
There's no shock factor here for me that I see right now. I am interested to see, though, if the Steelers get down. I'm not convinced they have enough to win. I've seen Tennessee come from behind and do it. I just haven't seen Pittsburgh do it against a team that I respect yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand, but I like Pittsburgh. I just think that what they're doing right now works, and what they're doing is working really, really well. But this, what I saw last week with Houston, if you're struggling with Houston, I know it's a division opponent. I get it. But if you need a A.J. Brown touchdown just to keep you in the ball game and to get you in overtime, that just doesn't tell me, that doesn't say a whole lot. It doesn't have a lot of merit saying, yeah, I know you're going to beat Pittsburgh. If they would have blown Houston out, yeah, I would pick Tennessee.
Pittsburgh does have, by the way, number one defense for the record. They do have the number one defense in the league.
I'll hedge my bets on that defense.
And I don't blame you, because that should travel well. The Steelers also, number one rushing defense in the league. There's no...
No, but you like Mike Vrabel.
But I do, and that's the other factor. I look at this game and I say coaching makes all the difference in the world. You've really, in this case... Well, and he
won a Super Bowl.
No question about it. But I think Vrabel is a better coach than I ever probably gave him credit for being. Based on, again, I had a big chubby about that thing.
Do you think he's Belichick with color?
I think he's Belichick with a running game.
Well, I mean, they had running games in New England.
Right, but not this kind.
Well, yeah, but he's Derrick Henry, which helps him out.
Well, that definitely doesn't hurt. I mean
Brady and the Pats had a running game with Kevin Falk and Corey.
They didn't have a back this good, though. That's the point I'm getting.
Okay, right, yeah, I can get behind that. So, LeGarrette Blount and...
It's interesting to me Sonny that... Michelle. Right, no, is it? So we'll differ on that game. I'm giving up on Rex Burkhead. You know I love Rex Burkhead. Panthers travel to the Saints... sneaky game here. Saints are 7.5-point favorites at home. Not sure. That number's intriguing to me, but the Saints are 7.5-point favorites at home. This isn't a particularly great matchup, I think, for Drew Brees. And And you're going up against now a quarterback who knows your system and knows what you do, and Teddy Bridgewater, because of the time he spent there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things I don't know which way I should pick. But is Michael Thomas playing for the Saints?
Questionable. Not sure if he's going to play. They're at this point, there is no set for sure if whether he's going to go or
not. If there are fans in the stands, I'm picking Saints all the way. There isn't. I'm reluctantly taking Carolina.
You take Carolina, and that's what I was going to do.
I'm very reluctant, but I want to take Carolina because, like what you said, Teddy Bridgewater knows the Saints offense. But Mike Davis for Carolina, he's having a pretty damn good season.
He is.
Adam McCaffrey's out, but he's having a pretty good season. Robbie Anderson's playing pretty well. The offense is really starting to gel around Teddy. And now Teddy doesn't throw a lot of distance on his passes, but I know just the dink and dunk football, that works for Teddy.
Yeah.
He makes it work, and I like their offense.
Saints are not a particularly talented defensive team either, which plays to Bridgewater's little pop gun that he runs. and again, they just have to keep the chains moving, and I think that's going to
move the chains, baby time, move the chains.
Right. I don't think they need to do a lot that they don't already do. I think they're going to play well. That's why I think they're going to go in there. And certainly, I think they're going to keep... If we're talking about 7.5 points, we're talking about a touchdown. It's tough for me not to say that the Panthers will be... Granted, they don't have a great offense either. These are actually two teams that are in the half to the upper bottom third of the league in offense. So this isn't going to be a showcase.
The fact that New Orleans is in there is pretty shocking.
Well, they're 16th, and the Panthers are 17th in defense. The Saints are 19th. This is not going to be...
No, I'm talking about offense. On defense, I get it. Both teams are...
The Saints are 16th. The Panthers are 22nd in offense. But now, keep in mind, the Saints have also played one less game than the Panthers have. But if you look at yards per play, which is a stat I spend a lot of time looking at, the Saints' yards per play are 5.8. Most of the elite teams in the league average over 6. And certainly that's down for the Saints compared to prior years. The Panthers do get 6 yards a play. And the other thing that the Panthers do not do a lot of is make a lot of mistakes. Bridgewater is not the kind of quarterback that, you know, flings the ball all over. Now, the Saints only have 3 interceptions, which is also, again, all things being equal, I think it's going to be a close game, and that's why I think you take the points, because a touchdown spread is too much.
Yeah, but with the Saints, like, they're usually at least in the top 10 in offense, you would think. But, like,
they haven't had Thomas, and that does impact.
And Emmanuel Sanders hasn't been that spectacular. No. You thought he'd be a lot better than what he is.
You thought he'd be a lot better than
he is. Drew Brees, is this his last season? Or does he have one more? What's his?
Well, he's got one more year if he wants it.
He signed a 2-year extension, didn't
he? Right. So that's what I think it'll be.
But I'm like, I don't know if he wants to go out like this. So I don't know if he's back next year, I don't know how much they're really going to add, because they're in such salary cap trouble that they're going to have to get rid of a lot of their pieces, unfortunately.
We'll see how the cap works out for him in that regard. Bills at the Jets. Bills minus 12.5. 45 is the over-under.
Can we just say Bills and move on?
Yeah, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time here.
I picked the Bills defense. I picked up the Bills defense this week off the waiver wire just because they're playing the Jets.
Yeah,
so
Jets dead last in offense, 29th in defense. No discernible opportunity.
Who's worse on defense?
Nobody. That's what I said. They're 30. Oh, you mean on defense?
Yeah.
Oh, the Browns, the Vikings, and the Cowboys, of course. Okay. The Cowboys are... And way to, again, plan the bit before we do it. Cowboys have given up the most points in league history through 6 games, on pace to give up the most points in league history.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was thinking something else.
Touchdown Giants. Gigantes in the end zone again. Sorry, Carson Wentz, but we were right on this one. Eagles are in trouble. Giants looking like a good cover. Way to start off our week there. Speaking of the Cowboys, again, not to ruin the bit, Cowboys on the road at the Washington football team. Like I said, they might not get a nickname until next year. Really?
What's taking so long?
What's the holdup, dude?
Dan Snyder wants to get as much money as he can.
Apparently so. Well, be that as it may. Cowboys minus 1 at, I still call it RFK, but it's FedEx.
Yeah. Well, it was Jack Kent Cook.
Whatever. Whatever, like it matters.
You know,
Cowboys can't stop anybody. Washington, not very good. This tough one. You got a couple of bad teams, bad defenses, and bad quarterback play.
Yeah, like we listened to like that show with Nate Tangney, glorious picks, yeah. You know? This is my glorious pick. I'm taking Washington.
You're taking Washington?
I'm taking Washington.
Okay, you're taking Washington.
I want Washington.
Plus the one?
Yes.
All right, you can have them because I'm taking the Cowboys. Cowboys aren't...
I'm sorry, but...
Cowboys aren't going to
If you can't put up anything against the Cardinals, I'm sorry, without Chandler Jones, that's not a great team, not a great defense, and your team and your great receiving core can't get open. What is that, the best teams on the best receiving cores? They didn't show it. They didn't show it that they had a great receiving core at all. They had a poor receiving core.
I don't think that Washington poses much of a threat, though, to anybody, least of all. The Cowboys need wins. They're going to be under the gun this week. I think they're going to get it done. I have no joy in picking them necessarily. I don't think they're going to lose this.
But after watching that defense, I think who's the starter? Is Kyle Allen the starter now?
I believe so.
Is he not Alex Smith? I think Kyle Allen will have a career day against Dallas.
Mm. Okay.
Terry McLaurin will have at least 2 touchdown catches.
All right.
And Antonio Gibson, what's his nickname again?
I don't know. Does he have a nickname?
He had one. You told me, but I don't remember it. But he's gonna have at least a couple scores as well. That's my upset.
I think the Cowboys are gonna run the ball a lot. That's what I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see. But I'll take the Cowboys minus the one. Sure. Packers on the road at the Texans. Packers at 4-1. Texans at 1-5. I'm confused. This spread confuses me because it's 3.5 points, and it's over under 56.5. I don't know if people are making too much out of the Texans going on the road or giving Tennessee a game, or if the Packers are not. You know, the Packers have absolutely, of course, got shellacked.
Well, it's Tampa.
What do you think? What do you think on that?
It's Tampa Bay, though. I think Houston. I don't know really what to think of Houston. I know the Vikings beat them and everything, but when I look at Houston. They're pretty they're garbage. Let's just be honest, you people. They're garbage. They don't know what they're doing. They look lost at times. I know they put a really good fight against Tennessee, and that's a division opponent. When they're playing anybody else, they've played so badly. And Aaron Rodgers, he never has back to back bad games. He never does. As much as I want him to, he's never had back to back bad games where he throws multiple interceptions, throws a pick six. He won't do that. And he's playing Houston. He's got Devonta Adams will have at least a couple touchdowns. I'm taking the Packers.
Yeah, give me the Packers minus the 3.5. And the
as
over.
Much as I don't want to, I'm gonna.
I think they're going to give up some points, but I also think that they're going to be able to take a chunk out of the Texans pretty easily. The Texans aren't very disciplined.
Nope.
And for God's sake, they lost to the Vikings, so we can pretty much write that one off. So we're both on the Packers on that one.
But they beat Jacksonville.
Let's see. It was the Sunday night game, and now it's not. So we'll go Bucks Raiders here. Bucks are minus 3.5 with 52.5 over under against the Raiders. Bucks again. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason. I think that win. That's a signature win that they put on. And not only did they beat Green Bay,
they beat them.
They
down.
Absolutely made them look like a bad high school franchise out there.
High school franchise?
Yeah, that looked bad. Okay. That was bad. And I think in the long run, that game is going to be a great deal of confidence. Now, I don't think the Raiders are a bad team, but their offensive line depth is going to be seriously tested here in this game.
I thought about picking the Raiders this week.
And then
I heard that, and I'm like, they're a good team, but Brady's really started to just gel with his offense. Like, they're become a coherent machine. Like, they're really starting to move together. Leonard Fournette hasn't been much of a factor, but Ronald Jones has been really, really good for them. And LeSean McCoy's been pretty good. Gronkowski finally got a touchdown pass this year. The receivers are really starting to gel with Brady. Give me the Buccaneers all the way.
Yep, I'll take the Bucks.
Buccaneers and the over.
Bucks also minus 3.5 in the over on that one for me in this particular game. Let's move on to the Chiefs, 9.5-point favorites against the Broncos. There is a forecast of snow, overcast, and snow in Denver. Yeah. 46 is the over-under. I think the Broncos got insanely lucky last week to beat the Patriots. I don't think history is going to repeat itself here. And the Chiefs are used to playing in the weather, even though they have no discernible ability to challenge, I think, the Chiefs on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they're not a bad team, but they're not that good. Give me the Chiefs minus the 9.5 and the over in this one.
Is Mahomes playing?
Of course.
Okay, then Chiefs.
Okay.
It's part of the bit. Come on.
It's part of the bit?
Yeah. Okay. It's Mahomes. I mean, okay. It's Mahomes in that offense.
No, I'm committed to the bit. I just wasn't sure what the bit was.
Why would I not pick Kansas City against Denver? It's Denver. I mean, they've lost. Chubb's not 100%. Lonzo's out for the season. They're pretty. What? What
are you Chubb?
Bradley Chubb.
Oh, Bradley Chubb. I thought you were about Nick Chubb. I'm like, what? We got the wrong uniform.
Bradley Chubb. Okay. But he's not 100%. Von Miller is gone. Their defense is in shambles. Their offense, Jerry Judy's has been good in spots. But
Noah Fant is coming back.
Philip Lindsay. I love Philip Lindsay.
I know you have a big Chubb. Speaking of Chubbs, you got a Chubb for Philip.
He's good, but they're just not a very good team.
Right?
Yeah.
Some elite level defense being played in the Giants game right now by
there isn't any
Giant defense here. That was horrible. So we're both on the Chiefs minus 9.5 on the over.
And the over.
49ers at the Patriots. This is a weird game. The Chiefs you have the Chiefs, the offensive juggernaut, to the Patriots and the 49ers who are both the Patriots are a 2-point favorite at home. 44.5. This is the Jimmy G comes back to his old team, but
Belichick won those back-to-back games. I'm come on, it's New England. You said you wouldn't pick San Francisco for a while, so come on, come with me to the Patriots. Come on.
Boy, I'm struggling here, but the Patriots just didn't look very good last week.
They
didn't look good, Grant.
And
they didn't. It was bad. I mean, that was a bad performance by New England. And I get that there's...
And the Niners play the Rams team that hadn't seen a good team all year. So, yeah, I get it. It's kind of a rubber match.
The thing that kind of takes me over the edge here is Mostert's out again. And I think they're such a different offense when Mostert is in the game.
Because it makes Garoppolo throw the ball with something like he's not very good at.
And they're just not a very good offensive team without him in the lineup. I think Belichick... If there's anybody that I would not want to be is a former starting quarterback
of
Bill Belichick's and a former quarterback, because he's going to know exactly what you do and don't do very well. I'm coming on to your side. I'm going to take the Patriots minus the 2, and I'm going to take the under.
Yeah.
Because I don't think this is going to be a very high-scoring game at all, so we'll go that route. Game I have zero interest in watching, Jaguars, Chargers. Chargers minus 7.5 against Chargers. The Jags with a 49 over-under. I think this is a game the Chargers absolutely, A, they have to win it, and B, they're at home, and I think they're just better.
A one-score game, then I might take Jacksonville because I'm taking the Chargers. But if it's a one-score game, Jacksonville might win. Because the Chargers struggle in one-score games.
They do. And
they lose a lot of them.
And their kicking game has been in kind of shambles.
The Money Badger?
Yeah, he's not been good. So give us the Chargers minus the 7.5 in this one. It could be a rough night.
This can go either way if it's a one-score game or not.
It could. And 7.5 makes me a little nervous, but I'm going to stick with it. Sunday Night Football now. Seahawks at 5-0, one of the last other unbeaten besides the Steelers-Titans game we talked about. 3.5-point favorites for the Seahawks with a 56 over-under. I'm not totally sold on the Cardinals just because I went in and decimated a bad Cowboys team.
But when you beat the Cowboys, you get a lot of national recognition.
But there's certainly a lot of opportunity here for the Cardinals to go out and prove that they are the real deal.
If they win this game, I believe in them. But
it's a division game at home, and they're getting 3.5. It's a tough one.
Until I see somebody beat Seattle, I'm taking Seattle.
Take Seattle?
I'm taking Seattle because I think Russell Wilson's been on a tear, and DK Metcalf, no one can cover that man. So, and their defense is they're getting better. They're not that great, but they're getting better. If the Vikes can put 26 points on, it makes me a little concerned. But I just think that Russell Wilson's playing so well this season. And with the Cardinals, I think they're on an emotional high after that kind of game. They might be a little overhyped to play this game. It's like, we can beat Seattle.
And if you look at Arizona, they haven't exactly beaten murderer's row.
They lost to the Lions. I mean, let's just...
They did.
They got beat by day 12.
Well, not only that, but they got beat by a pretty mediocre Carolina team. And I'm not sure they're ready to step up and win a game like this. They have all the advantages being at home. I don't like the 3.5 number particularly that much for Seattle because it makes me a little bit nervous in terms of their you know, their that late comeback victory type thing. But I'll take them. I'll take the Seahawks.
I mean, can they? I mean, well, can the Cardinals? Can Cardinals win? Sure, they can. But until I see them do it, I'm gonna pick Seattle.
Okay, so we've got Seattle minus the 3.5 and the over in that particular game. And I wouldn't be completely surprised if it goes absolutely the opposite way. But it would be a huge signature win for the Cardinals if they can get that one done at home, and certainly they have ample opportunity for it. Let's go to Monday night.
Hit that horn! Hit that horn! Got to get a new horn!
Rams at home against the Bears, minus 4 and a 45 over.
This is where the Bears get exposed. Give me the Rams.
I keep waiting for the Rams to really have a huge breakout
game. And here it comes.
And this might be it, because I think someone needs to just slap the Bears around and put them out of their misery. The Bears have been the luckiest team in the NFL. There's no question about it. They are a mediocre team that is disguised as a playoff contender. If you look at how worthless this team is, they've gotten all the breaks. Now, their defense is not bad. Okay?
It was one of the best.
They've got the 25th ranked offense in the league, and really? They're 5-1. And their defense has kept them in games. They're doing all right. But at some point, they're going to face a capable football team.
And the Rams
and
are that team.
Is that team. Give me the Rams, yep. Minus the 4 and the over.
I agree with you, too. I'm tired of this Rams team. Not Rams. This Bears team pretending that they're good. I'm sorry. You had one good season a couple seasons ago. One's for a double doink. You may have gone somewhere in the playoffs. But here's what I'm saying. Your defense can only take you so far. And that the playoff game told us that. Your defense going to take you so far, and it's been depleted through the years after that season. Your defense can only carry Nick Foles and Trubisky can only go so far. Eventually, the offense has to start making its weight. And the Rams are going to bury that Bears defense, and that offense got to do something. And the more I see this Bears team, the more I don't believe in it. I'm taking the Rams.
Okay. Reasonable enough. So that ends the NFL week of predictions. I am one game ahead in the overall standings, just above 500.
If I win them both, I'm ahead.
You're at 500. So yes, we are. We're certainly in the midst of a heated battle in the pick segment. I have 3 weekly wins. Grant has 2 with 1 tie. So we'll see how this all bears out. Looks like we're both going to go 1-0. The Eagles have scored to cut the lead, but. Yeah. Even if they score a touchdown here towards the end to try to get back in it, it looks like the Giants are going to cover this one relatively comfortably. Let's move on to the college side of the world. We start the Big Ten this week.
Yay!
And Illinois-Wisconsin actually get it going tomorrow night. Well, at least it's a ranked opponent.
Yeah.
We certainly have a...
Wisconsin.
And, of course, all eyes will be on Minneapolis on Saturday for the...
let's go Michigan.
Minnesota-Michigan game.
Wants a pick in Michigan.
It'll be interesting to see how that one fares. What are your thoughts as we look at the weekend here, Grant? We've got a couple of good matchups. I guess I'm looking forward to watching, again, Ohio State come out and play number 5 in the country and seeing where Justin Fields comes in at. That's a good ball game. Your boys from Clemson are 46-point slight favorites. In the battle.
Which garbage you been playing this week?
It's Nebraska. Hard to believe that Nebraska can be classified.
Clemson's playing Nebraska.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Ohio State. No. Ohio State's playing Nebraska. Clemson is playing the mighty Cues, the Orangemen, this week.
Oh, great.
But don't see that one being real competitive.
I want to see if Minnesota can actually beat somebody that's good.
Michigan, a 3-point dog. You want a bonus pick this game? We don't count it in the standings.
No, Michigan.
Michigan minus the 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, Michigan.
I'm on Michigan.
I mean, great. You beat a fluke Penn State team. Fantastic. That's great. And you play them at home.
Oh, that's the greatest win in the history of TCF Bank Stadium, they say.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
Like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. That was really great. But I want to see if Minnesota wins this game, do they have another really hard game on their schedule?
They really don't. No. That's the thing about the Gopher schedule. If they get past this one,
last year, they could have been in the Big Ten title game. All you knew was beat Iowa, and you would have been in. But you choked it away and lost.
Again, it's at Maryland, at Illinois, home for Iowa, home for Purdue, at Wisconsin. Mark it down.
Wisconsin's going to mean something.
That's the game.
So they play Iowa at home.
Iowa's at home.
Yeah.
But so, I think it's all going to come down to how well
they play at Camp Randall.
They play at Camp Randall. And that's really going to decide, I think, any hopes they have of playing significantly in the postseason.
I think they will lose to Michigan. I think they will lose to Wisconsin. I think they will lose to Iowa. Because Iowa has tripped them up in the past.
So you're thinking 5-3.
I'm thinking 5-3. And they might go 6-2 if they can beat Iowa or Wisconsin. Because, I mean, 6-2 might win you your division.
Well, here's the way I look at the Gophers. It's a three-game season for the Gophers. And two of them are at home.
Yeah.
And I think they could beat Iowa. I don't think there's any question about it.
And people
I think they could beat Wisconsin. I don't think there's any question about it.
And then people say how good Tanner Morgan is and how good Rashawn Bateman is. I want to see if you can do it again. You did it once. Can you do it a second time?
I don't have a lot of faith in Jim Harbaugh, but I do in a game like this.
Against Ohio State? No, against anybody else? Sure, I'll give him a shot.
I think they're going to have a shot in this one to do it. So I'm on Michigan.
If Ryan Day is on the Gopher sideline, he's got a shot.
We'll see. We'll see. Other games of note just for the weekend here in college football, and there's not a ton of great ones here as we kind of move towards the, again, with the major college schedule. You know, Alabama doesn't have too difficult. There's no big test on there for them this week or anything like that. They certainly had a good run here after beating Georgia. This week, the test is not quite as stern in Tennessee. They're 21.5-point favorites to win. I don't see a lot of problem there. Just a couple other games of note. North Carolina State's playing North Carolina. That should be interesting to see how North Carolina bounces back. Both teams nationally ranked at that one. Kansas State will be could be ugly. For Chris Klieman, could whoop them in there. Good Big 12 game that we don't want to forget about either, because Oklahoma State, they can beat Iowa State in Stillwater. Probably has a chance to run out the big and lock up the Big 12, and that will be interesting to see if Mike Gundy's team can
finally get in the playoff.
Finally get to that playoff.
Because if you remember in that one season, I can't remember which season it was. Was it 2014, where they were so close to getting to the BCS title game, so the BCS system at that time, and they lost to Iowa State. That game cost them a shot. I think it was the LSU Bama. It was 2011, I think.
Now, let's keep in mind they've got K-State on the schedule yet at K-State.
Yeah.
That could be tough. They've also got to go to Norman and play in Oklahoma. So but this is the first of the three games that they really have to win. And we'll see if they're up. And, of course, they've got – isn't that Chuba Hubbard's team?
Yes.
Our boy?
Is it Chuba? It's Chuba or Chuba.
Your brother from another mother? Anyway. Ooh, fatal mistake there by the Giants with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Not converting on 3rd-and-6. So, anyway, that'll be interesting to watch. Cincinnati-SMU, another sneaky good game, by the way, if you're looking at
– But what's Cincinnati ranked? 8th?
Ninth. SMU is 16th. They're like 5-0. So
okay, yeah, that's a good game.
Don't sleep on that game.
No, I'm not. That's a good game.
That will be interesting. I'm kind of curious because it's the 8:00 kickoff on ESPN2. Just one of those. And by the way, late night degenerate Western Athletic football is back, baby. What do we call it now? Conference USA, is that what it's called now? I don't even know.
Who's playing?
Well, it's Hawaii. Is that
the Mountain West?
I'm sorry, Mountain West. My apologies.
Mountain West. It's Boise State.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course I know that.
Right, but Degenerate Gambler Bowl, 9:30, UNLV, San Diego State, and then I get to watch Air Force, which you know I love watching.
You love the Service Academy.
I love
Academy.
Service Academy option, baby. Let's go. I love watching
and
that
stuff. And I love your Service Academy football.
Service Academy football is the best kind of football. No.
It's just option crap. I mean, it's just...
Don't ever call the option crap in my
presence. Because I run it. Yeah, I know, but...
Don't ever call the option crap.
It's triple option.
You should
I don't like the triple option. I like the true option.
It's so good. It's designed for Service Academies.
It's the quarterback keep. It's the halfback or is another halfback.
Don't forget about the dive. You always have to take away the dive first. Any linebacker will tell you that. Moving on. A split in the first two games of the Fall Classic.
Your team kicked my ass. My team kicked your ass.
My team came a lot closer to winning game two than you think. But as predicted, this was going to be a close series.
I said Rays in 6. I'm sticking to it.
Yep, and I said Dodgers in 7, and I'm staying with that too. And
Charlie Mort. I got my boy Charlie Mort on the mound.
Yes, but I got my boy Walker Buehler on the mound.
My boy's 4-0 in the postseason.
Right, but mine's might be the best pitcher in the game.
Yeah,
so
yours is 1.
Pivotal game. Pivotable? I'm making up words.
Pivotable.
Pivotal game 3 tomorrow night. We're going to see in this, I think everybody expected game two was the Dodgers' least best chance to win. They sent Kershaw out. He did his job. He out-dueled your boy Glasnow. And then last night, Blake Snell came out and pitched like a Cy Young winner. He was absolutely unhittable for the first several innings. Only made a few mistakes. And then the Rays bullpen
yeah.
shut down the Dodgers. Made it interesting in the late innings. But I think, Grant, this is living up to everything we thought it was going to be about a dead-even series.
It's just a pitcher's duel with a couple home runs sprinkled in. But that's kind of what this series is going
to
be.
And both teams now have a chance to recharge their bullpens with the off day. So by the time we come back, it'll be interesting to see where we are in the whole grand scheme of the series. I think we're going to be looking at Kershaw pitching in game four or five. Depends on what the rotations look like. I mean, what are your thoughts? You think...
Whichever game Kershaw pitches, they're going to lose. The Dodgers will lose. Because he hasn't had that game where he collapses yet. It happens once every postseason, and it's got to happen at some point. Which, if it's game four or game five, he's going to make a mistake on a horrible outing that's going to cost them this World Series.
Jose Urias will pitch game four for the Dodgers. Not sure about who the Rays have not announced a game four starter. We know that in game five it'll be Kershaw, apparently, according to what we're reading here. And then the key here is that the teams will play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's possible by the time we come back on Monday, we may have a champion. I find it hard to believe.
No.
But then there's an off day Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday would be the final games. And, of course, neither team would project their pitching staff that far. But I'd be surprised if we don't see Kershaw, if he's pitching game five and that's on a Sunday. It's very possible he gets the ball again in Game 7 if it needs to go that far.
I wouldn't trust him. If it goes 7 and he starts 7, the Rays will win the World Series.
Okay.
And if Blake Snell is the pitcher, the series is over.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is now Snell's probably only got one more game left in him the way things are. So I'm not sure that...
If the Rays ever get to 3, which I...
Dodger hitters were very disciplined against Glasnow. Not quite as much against Snell.
They weren't buying the eye candy.
Snell did a nice job though, mixing up his stuff, and it was a pretty good game. And it shows that both these teams can score some runs. I mean, we haven't had 2-1 or 3-2 games. These have been 6-8 run games.
Yeah, but the Rays do it like with unlikely sources though. Like they go from guys you never heard of.
Well, but Brandon Lau has not hit well in this series. The whole postseason.
Or Austin Meadows.
He was their best hitter in the regular season, but then, boy, but did he come through last night. Two home runs, including one in the first inning, and then one in the fifth, I think it was. Kind of was the catalyst for the offense, and they finally got some clutch hits. They hadn't done a lot, and their offense has been pretty poor. And that's what keeps bothering me about the Rays is that I don't know if they can consistently put that kind of offense out there. Maybe that was the catalyst they needed last
night. I'm buying the Rays because of their pitching.
They're going to have to score three
the
runs.
The Rays get hits in spots. I mean, there are times where their hitters...
Bunches.
They don't show up in times they really show up. If their hitters can show up, if they can score three runs, the Rays bullpen can finish the job. If it gets to a game seven, blowing up, you might only need... two runs to win game seven.
It's possible.
If Blake Snell pitches the game he's supposed to pitch, 2-0 could be the final score, and that might be a series winner.
That might be enough. You're very true. You're very accurate in that. But what we at least have is an entertaining series, and that's really all we wanted to see at this point was just to have an entertaining series. And that's, again, what makes most talk show hosts happy. Is that we get a chance to see some good stuff out there in games. So, well, we've come to the point where we're talking about anniversaries, and it's been fun to watch over the year. We've had some fun events. We've had to deal with some interesting issues, coronavirus, and we've talked about Kobe Bryant being gone. We've covered so much stuff in 1 year on this show, and it's just been so fun. But sometimes the fun is in cheesiness.
Trophy.
This was our opening from the January Super Bowl show.
Champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, back to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. Or will it be a return to glory to the San Francisco 49ers, the champions of the National
Champions, by the way.
Champions.
It all remains to be seen this Sunday in Miami.
This is my John for Sunday. Here. Here it comes. This is my favorite part right here.
Preview the game. It's the legend and the loudmouth.
Right here.
Somebody should hire that guy.
Yeah, that's,
yeah. You sound like Harry Callis to me.
Well, I can't go for the Harry Callis. That's kind of more down here.
You can still do it, though.
Well,
Facenda or who's that? Scott Graham, how's the guy's name?
Scott Graham's got that just kind of polished sound.
He's more of a high pitch guy, though.
Yeah, a little bit. I agree.
Clearly obvious that...
That's very accurate.
Clearly obvious that the Vikings did not have the stuff against the Falcons.
Something about Scott Graham, though, you know, I wish he was a little more deep-voiced.
That's all.
I mean, I know it's not perfect.
But, I mean, some sportscasters, they just have the high-pitched voice right. And have to
show everybody, Legend of Loudmouth here with you to the strains of My Corona.
Why did I pick
very,
this?
Very good parody that we...
Oh, My Corona. By. That's fine.
All credit to Chris Mann.
You know, like, these parody songs you wanted to play during the pandemic? Extreme parts of the pandemic.
Very nicely done. So, tried to do a little April Fool's thing there.
Oh, that was your show opening. Yeah, that was when you opened the show. I forgot.
In these times of crisis,
my bubble water's almost gone.
Rehearse the intro before you do.
Let's catch that intro again.
This time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Dad, how are we doing?
Doing good. See, this is why you rehearse the intro before you do it.
That's right.
It was our first time reading that.
I know. It was our April Fool's attempt.
I'm not trying to judge your handwriting, but our handwriting is very similar. And for the listeners, it's piss poor. Like, we have bad handwriting. Both of us do. So
Speak for yourself.
I'm reading off your sheet, and you have, like, words are like, you know, you have a carrot in there.
That's because only trained professionals are allowed to read that out.
And I'm like, I've never seen it before, so I'm reading off of it.
Only trained professionals should try to read my copy.
And my copy, because mine's probably the worst handwriting than yours.
Yeah, we also had some emotional moments, and we have to, even though he is not in person at this point, we did have sound engineer Ben join us. But this was the show opening from May 4th, of course.
A long time ago, actually today, in a galaxy far, far away, known as the 58104. A podcast for the ages continued with the legend and the loudmouth. And who knows, on days of old and days of yore, what will be presented. But one thing is certain. Today, I say to you, May the 4th be with you.
Good stuff right
there.
That
was very well done.
That was one of the better. That was actually one of the better openings we put together. It's amazing when I have more than 5 minutes to produce the show.
Did you write that out, or is that just off the top of
your
head?
Oh, that's off the top of my head. Again, nothing on this show gets scripted or put together ahead of time. We tried to do that as best we could in that particular case. But I thought that was certainly one of our favorite things. Another very popular segment that we did during the year, and much to the amusement of many, was during the NBA season. Remember when we had an NBA season in February? Remember that?
I like that.
That was a long time ago, but we did this.
Let's begin. What team he on?
Yeah!
Spencer Dinwiddie. What team he on?
Spencer Dinwiddie.
This is a layup. Oh my god.
Layup, yeah.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
You shouldn't need to think about this long. No.
I'm not looking it up. I gotta get the sound effect.
No, ready. Google.
No, like I said, what fun would that be?
No, Google.
Spencer Dinwiddie. Would he be a Los Angeles Clipper?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, it would get on to get worse for me. I think Pat Connaughton was the only one I got right.
I slipped that one out. See if you get that one wrong, too. No, the one where you cheated, the All-Star one, though, we did that one. that still annoys me.
I don't have any audio of that one. I guess I didn't put that one
I
together.
I hated that you did that.
Oh, that was funny.
I said, don't cheat, and of course you cheated anyway.
Well, that one was funny, though. You got to admit that.
No, it was not.
I thought it was.
This is the segment I look forward to. I get to quiz you. I like those segments.
No. But by far the best segment we had of, and really the first one where we got into a major debate on the show,
good old Lamar Jackson.
Was Lamar Jackson, and we still have it to some extent to this day. But I think this is probably my favorite segment.
My favorite segment
we did all year.
Throwing those Big Apple turnovers.
Four interceptions again, sacked twice, sore ankle, tough game. Michael Thomas continues to put on a clinic out there. Michael Thomas catches 8 balls for 114 yards. Drew Brees throws for 228, 3 scores. Typical day at the office as the Saints move to 8-2. And again, after that ugly display they had last week against the Falcons.
Michael Thomas is a system-wide receiver.
Option, not much of a game. 20-3 at half.
Okay,
pound
skipping ahead.
The Carolina Panthers into submission.
Funny when you take away McCaffrey and you make.
You know, sometimes I should plan this out better.
5 times, got a special.
Yeah, but our show's on NBL.
They still have to catch the Vikings.
9 times for 86 yards.
Well, I don't remember.
Of course, now you can't find it. So. Did you have a time?
Oh, here we go. No, I got. I just read the wrong.
Do you have a timestamp?
I do. I read the timestamp wrong.
Lamar Jackson played a great.
Here it is.
Game, admit it, Father. He played a great football game that day, and he obliterated Houston.
So, are you picking Baltimore to go to the AFC to win the AFC right now? Based on that,
to go to the AFC Championship game, sure.
Are they going to win the AFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're
spoiler alert. Didn't make either.
Yeah, they did.
So
they lost the division.
Let me throw some names at you.
Oh, great. Here we go.
That
James Devlin, Julian Edelman.
No. Actually, that's not where I'm going with this. Oh, let's talk about some of the other great quarterbacks that have just been wowing the kids like you for all these times. Remember Vince Young? Vince Young scores, touchdown, Rose Bowl.
This was a particularly savage
right?
Takedown.
playing against Matt Leinart and everything, it was all great. Vince Young comes to the Titans, dominates for the first, 6 to 7 games of his career. Oh, nobody could stop Vince Young, is great. How many playoffs games Vince Young win?
I have no idea.
Yeah, how many Super Bowls did he win?
Probably none.
Okay. We'll move on to the next flavor of the month. We talked about, even before that, Michael,
flavor
all,
of the month.
All the Super Bowl appearances and NFC title games that Michael Vitt went to, right?
He made one.
Yeah. How many?
Yay!
RG3. Oh, nobody can stop RG3. He's the greatest ever. He's to transform football. How many Super Bowls did he get to?
Zero.
How many NFC championships did he get to? Okay. And, you know, he's backing up Lamar Jackson. So, if any, it's on his old ass. It's old ass RG3. Tim Tebow. Remember Tim Tebow? Left-handed.
He's doing minor league baseball.
What a great athlete he was. And he threw the touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas. You can't stop Tim Tebow. He's the greatest thing
ever.
I've never
seen
how many playoff games did Tim Tebow win? One. How many Super Bowls did he get to? None. Right? The only guy, though, this list. Here's a guy. The only guy that did it had a workout on Saturday because he can't get in the league, and it's our buddy Colin Kaepernick.
Well, because he can't. Because
Colin Kaepernick made one Super Bowl and lost.
You know why people talk about it? Because he likes to genuflect on the national anthem.
Colin Kaepernick doesn't belong.
A little political there, but that's as political as this show gets.
His brand and everything else is toxic to the NFL.
Brand.
So the next time you guys all decide that the hot running quarterback is the latest trend that's going to win all these Super Bowls and be a transformative character on how the game is played, remember who's got all the rings. And his name is Tom Brady, and he's got 6. And you know why? Because Tom Brady knows how to win the game without putting himself in jeopardy. And they win all these titles and do all these things with inferior wide receivers and inferior talent because he's the best that there ever was.
Are you talking yet?
I am.
That was pretty savage.
What have we learned since then? Well, Lamar's not a great passer.
Ain't one shit.
I finally admit he's not a great passer. I've backed off. I'm more of a Holmes now than I was. What else was I going to say? I don't know.
I think that.
Oh, yeah. The archetype is that. The archetype.
Well, someone's been playing some Madden lately. Yeah,
I played the yard this morning.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But the running quarterback, people want that more now.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields, Trey, Trevor Lawrence runs a little bit. They all want the mobile quarterback who can do everything. Everybody wants Russell Wilson and Mahomes.
Too bad there are only a few of those to go.
Too bad there are only a couple of those. Yes, but everybody would go fishing for those. Back then, everybody wanted the drop back quarterback, like Marino and Elway and Montana. They all wanted the drop back quarterback. And the athletic quarterback was Steve Young. He was in a category by himself. Then, as we have to move through time, it's now the running quarterback.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
All 32 NFL GMs.
Right.
They care.
They all win. Of course, you could. It could be worse. You could have a quarterback who doesn't move around much and is probably the only thing he's ever going to be known for in his career is this. Seriously. By the way, should mention briefly, Vikes traded Yannick Ngakoue today.
No!
Just when I learned to say his name on a regular basis and they trade him. Seriously.
I said this to you this morning. Why would you trade him when you know you're going to trade him back somewhere else?
You know what the nicest thing about this weekend is knowing what we can do while we watch football? We're going to be okay. You know why? Because we will not lose this week.
We're undefeated against the bye week.
Which I really enjoy. We are undefeated against the bye.
The bye is a terrible team.
It really is. But, oh no, there's a fumble, and the Eagles are going to win this game. Wow. All right. The Eagles have come from behind to win the game.
Again.
that's pretty amazing. And for the Giants, you can only say this. Wow, that's a pathetic way to lose a game. But fortunately, they did cover the spread, which is the most important thing that all degenerate gamblers would. And in closing for the year, the last clip I'm going to, for our anniversary show that I have to play, is still the best announcer closeout clip that I've heard because I am mentioned in it.
At 18, Hubbard, first par for 64. Next week we'll go to Pebble Beach, present the coverage there.
There we go. See? Oh, I forgot. I need to get the second shot.
Get back to that. 12 down. I got a second shot in here by Hubbard. Beautiful bounce back off the double.
That's right. I made a double, but it was fortunately. I've been on the leaderboard several times during this
What's your best score again? Is it?
I think I shot 64.
No, you.
Oh, 99.
Yeah.
Over 18 now. Rounds of the day, belongs to Mark Hubbard.
You got that right. Thanks, Jim Nance. Anyway, so yeah, there's our year. It's been a fun ride.
Gonna be a fun ride.
We have really, really enjoyed doing this over the past year since we debuted. Again, can't thank enough all of the folks that have emailed in person. We did a whole YouTube show at the draft, and then, of course, given Corona, that was a big hit. We really had a good time with it, and we hope that you guys listening to this all over, internationally as well, have as much fun.
I think our Singapore audience.
Yeah, our big Irish following.
Irish following.
We hope that you've enjoyed these episodes and these in this one-year run that we've had as much as we have doing it. It is truly a labor of love. It's not like you get rich doing podcasts.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. So we really appreciate it. And Grant, I know it's not only being your partner on the radio here, but your dad and everything, and that's it's enjoyable. And I just want to say thank you. We've had a blast doing this twice a week, and I really thank you.
Yeah, I thank you, Dad.
It's been fun. Well, guess we gotta keep generating content now.
Jeez. I guess, yeah.
Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows. All of the last year of them. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. Legend_loudmouth_pod. Please. And by the way, subscribe to our YouTube channel, please.
Enjoy it. We hope that the content that we're putting out is something that you want to listen to. Please let us know. Please support the show in any way, shape, or form that you can. We will be back on Monday. We will break down the NFL weekend, and we will also talk college football. And we'll see if the World Series, what point we're at, and see if the Rays or the Dodgers is one step closer to a world championship. Hey, thanks for sticking with us for this year, ladies and gentlemen. Time to go with year two, and we'll be back for it on Monday. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.